All right. It's time now to hear from the station managers of the five stations and the archives director. And first is Dwayne Bradley of our host station, KPFT. Yay!
Hi, everybody. It's my honor to actually be the host GM. I wanted to just start off and respond to something I heard Gerald say earlier and about the rope, the rotten rope and the other rope. And I think I would prefer a really strong American-made hemp rope, but that's just my personal. I want to say that I'm really proud of the KPFT reps up here on the national board. I'm really really glad that Henry is part of my team. And I'm glad we're on the same side. And Teresa and Sam and Wendy, thank you for all of your work and everything. Also, you know, none of all the good things. I mean, I'm getting thanked for being the host GM, but really it's the staff at KPFT, it's the volunteers, it's the local station board members, it's all the people who drove you around, it's Otis and, you know, the folks who are streaming this and pretty much every national board-related function around the whole planet that really deserve, I think, a lot of the thanks for, you know, everything going as smooth as, you know, the Texas hospitality that you received and the barbecue that you got to eat and the tofu rib sandwiches and whatever. So y'all have my little report in your packets, and there are a couple things in it that I need to kind of tweak, because we had to write these, you know, a little while ago, actually right in the middle of our fund drive. So as it says at the beginning here, and this is, I guess, predominantly for the benefit of the folks listening and the folks in the audience here who don't have, you know, the advantage you do of actually getting to read along with me. But, you know, we ended the third quarter of the fiscal year. KPFT's in pretty good shape. Our total revenue as we began the fund drive was over $816,000, which was 70% of our goal for the fiscal year. And our membership is hovering around 86 to 8,800 members, which is problematic, and I'll maybe get into that a little bit later. The spring fund drive ended at about $290,000. I had projected, because I wrote this, you know, days before it ended, that we were probably going to end up at $260,000 to $270,000, but we ended up close to $290,000, which was about 10% below what we had hoped to raise in the fund drive. And again, it's somewhat problematic. The goal was set relatively high. We'd never set a goal that high before for a drive this time of year. And actually, since I've come back in the 2.25 years that I've been back, we actually hadn't done a drive in the month of May. We had done them in late June. So this was kind of a new experience for all of us. Since our last little get-together in Berkeley back in March, we actually did follow through with one of our goals that we had mentioned to you then, and KPFT's local news has gone from 3 to 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And our local news department is continuing to do some amazing outreach through its monthly training programs of bringing 10 to 15 usually young folks into the station, teaching them news gathering, teaching them digital editing, teaching them about radio, and that's a really great thing. Also, we'll be sending one of our news co-directors, Renee Feltz, will be going to the Grassroots Radio Conference later this month out in California.
I'm going.
Teresa's going. Otis is going. Wendy's going. Scooter's going.
Mike Woodson, maybe.
And it's, KPFT will have a pretty good contingent of folks out in the GRC. Okay, there's a bunch of people from Houston who are going to go. the physical plant at KPFT, I'm glad that y'all got to come to the station and see our backyard. I'm really proud of KPFT's backyard, the fact that we've got the facility that we do, and just for those of you who don't know, because you don't get to listen to me pitch about this three or four times a year, that house is 89 years old, and it was built by James Baker's grandfather, the James Baker. And you know, but the physical plant definitely needs improvement, and we do have plans. And in our FY05 budget, we actually do have $30,000. I wanted to put 50 in, and Lonnie wouldn't let us put all 50 of it in there. But we have $30,000, and the majority of that is earmarked towards our continuation of the ADA access project. And for those of you who were at the station the other night, you know, and you were enjoying that porch out behind the door there, that's going to turn into a break room. That's where all the our little kitchen is going to be. And this tiny little kitchen that for a period of time was a bathroom and a kitchen, and then it was a kitchen, and then it was a bathroom. Now it's going to be converted back into an actual wheelchair-accessible bathroom, something that, you know, now that we can actually allow people to roll into KPFT, well, we want it to be actually usable. So that's the next phase of what we're going to be doing. We have a brand new driveway in the front of the station. It cost a few thousand dollars. But the converting the staff kitchen to a wheelchair-accessible bathroom is our next goal. And we do have money in our budget set for that. We do have a paid staff currently of 11 and a half, and every one of those people, including the half-time employee, are regular employees, and they do have health benefits. We have one vacant position. It's our promotions director position. It's been vacant since February. We plan on posting it in June. And that's a full-time salary line, and we're still looking at how we're going to redefine that position to possibly recategorize it as a volunteer coordinator slash promotions, kind of a combination job. Our membership department's been working on database management to try and ensure that KPFT has a really smooth election this fall. It's been kind of embarrassing for us at the station. Personally, I know I've had several friends who are still angry at me because they never did get a ballot, and I asked them to just be patient. It was coming, and it never did. And we don't want that to happen. That's a breach of trust, and we don't want that to happen again. So we've been cleaning the database. I use the word cleaning in quotes in my report to y'all, and I don't mean that we're, you know, like going through it Catherine Harris style. but what we're doing is, as we're entering pledges from the most recent fund drive, if you've ever used the MEMSIS system, it as you start to punch in somebody's name, it'll go into the database and pull all the close matches to it. And we're trying to take some extra time to actually find out if maybe we have four different addresses for the same person and eliminate some of the older data that's in there, if that works. I would say all in all, you know, the mood in Houston is generally positive. We've got our problems, we've got our struggles, we've got our concerns. I think overall, I've got faith, and I think the staff has a level of faith and optimism in the network, in ourselves, in Pacifica as we move forward. And I want to just make sure that y'all know that there's a big party tonight downtown that's being hosted by KPFT, and if you don't make it, you're missing out on a really interesting experience, because we're having, from 9 to midnight tonight, our Solar Grooves program with DJ Sun is being broadcast live from a little place at 316 Main Street. You can walk there, or you can walk three blocks down the street to Main Street, spend $2 for a 24-hour pass on the Metro Rail. You can ride the train. You can ride it way down south and see the Astrodome if you want to, you know, whatever. But if you go up north to Preston Street, step off the train tracks, walk into a place called Dean's Credit Clothing, It's a clothing store that back in the 1940s actually rented clothing to people. And it's been converted into a club. DJ Sun will be in the display window. We're taking the mannequins out. We're putting DJ Sun and his turntables in there. And so from 9 to midnight tonight, the program will be simulcast. You're welcome to be there as guests of KPFT in Houston. And adjacent to that is another former department store called Clark's, owned by the same people, but it's a separate environment with different DJs. There's a VIP lounge upstairs that has a glass room with leather couches, and we've talked to the owners about the place, and they've actually agreed to allow y'all to go in and utilize the VIP lounge if you want to go in through the more dance-oriented of the two clubs. So that's something that's available to you tonight. Just come to Dean's, and if you want to slip over to Clark's, you'll be escorted up to that facility as well if you want to. But if you need a ride, get with part of our local station board ride crew. Deb Shafto, right here, will be the main contact person if you need a lift. But I'd, you know, if it's a nice evening, just walk down and ride our brand new train. I think it's kind of cool. So I'm just going to end on that because it's going to be fun. I hope you all come out tonight. So thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne. Now we have 10 brief minutes to talk to Dwayne, ask him questions. Carol.
Dwayne, I know the budgeting process is really painful for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking at your budget. This is just a preliminary. And it shows $31,005 bottom line surplus at the end of the year, which is not 1 month's operating. So I'm concerned about building reserves at KPFT. Are you coming into the year with any reserves? And let me just ask another couple of things. One is I note that there is no special assessment on KPFT for legal expenses next year, and perhaps that's because of poverty.
Perhaps it's because we paid ours in advance.
You paid it in advance? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that information. I appreciate it. Good. And I just, it's not a question I expect an answer to or request one to right now, but because the margin is so small, I'm just hoping that there are some ways to reduce expenses or increase revenue next year. We'll ask about it as a member of the Finance Committee.
Okay. I have been combing this budget a lot, as you can imagine, and our business manager is actually in Puerto Rico. Otherwise, I would have her here to help me comb through it with you. But, you know, we have an awfully lean budget at KPFT. We have a very small staff.
Yeah.
There are very few points in the budget that we can reduce expenses. I mean, we're operating at a bare-bones level right now. You see where we make radio happen.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Mark, please, and we'll note people who want to speak.
How are you doing? I just once again want to thank you for all your hospitality. You've shown me a great Houston time, and I appreciate that. I'll remember that. I wanted to know about the relationship you have with the LSB, and if you touched on this earlier because I was a little late, please forgive me, but how is that working for you in terms of the communication? How are they being integrated into the various aspects of the operations there?
Thanks for the question, and I'm looking forward to, I think, coming to D.C. in September. So you can return the favor.
Okay. talk to Ron.
You know, I think the relationship, you know, on a personal level, I'm pretty pleased with it, and I think that the staff in general is dealing with it pretty well. I think I would be dishonest if I didn't say that we are experiencing some transitional pain as you are, as we all are, nationally and locally. And we've had our issues with, I think, people, you know, coming in feeling empowered. I'm voted in by the members, you know. I'm an elected board person now, so you work for me. And getting the lines of control established is an ongoing process. I mean, we're still feeling each other out, essentially. And so that's kind of what's happening at the local level as well. So we're dealing with it, I think, as well as we can. I'm thankful that we have as good members of the national and officers of our local board as we do, and I think that's made it even more smooth. It's not ideal, of course, but it's good in general, and I'm optimistic that it will continue to get better.
Thank you for your honesty.
Okay, we're going to hear from Alice, Dave, and Miguel, and that's all the time we're going to have with Duane.
Thank
so, Alice.
You very much for the hospitality. It's really been fun and incredible food last night. It was amazing. Let's see. I have one basic question, which is actually several. What things do you really want to see happen at your station?
Well, I would like to see us grow our membership. I would like to see us grow our facility so that we're not as constrained in doing radio. And I just think I'd like to see us get better at what it is we're here to do and effect a bigger difference in our community. To me it's frustrating that we essentially, if you remember one of those slides that said, you know, KPFT had 148,000 people listening each week 3 years ago, and it has 148,000 people listening each week now. We've gone through an amazing transformation in our programming, and essentially what we've done is we've gotten rid of a lot of people and we've brought in a whole lot of other people, but we're essentially treading water and we're still depending on roughly 9,000 people to fund this entire operation, and that can be kind of frustrating. So I'd like to change that.
How do you feel about...
No, Alice.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, dear. Dave?
We can talk tonight at Dean's.
Yeah.
On the couches.
Yeah. So I've heard, one of the things I've heard coming out of Houston, not so far different from some of the things that happened in Berkeley, is some conflict over how drive time programming gets decided. And in particular, I understand your morning drive time right now is music. And there are some folks advocating that Democracy Now! Is one of the stronger programs be put in drive time. I was wondering, and I know, as again in Berkeley, there are strong feelings on either side of it and some degree of polarization. So I'm wondering what you think of how that's going to get arbitrated, negotiated, what role the LSB is going to have, what role the program council is going to have, and also what your reasons are right now for keeping the music rather than Democracy Now! And drive time.
How many minutes do I get?
Two.
We can talk about it tonight.
Okay. Yeah, because this is like several cocktails worth of conversation.
How about the relationship between the bodies and the decision-making, just to start?
I think Otis and I, you know, the program director and I have talked about this a lot. The changes that we've made in the 2 years that we've been working together have been, to a certain extent, driven by circumstances and just gut instinct and not anything that we can really analyze and prove, you know, and we've just taken chances and a lot of them have worked. But when you're talking about making a really substantive change, in Houston, drive time is from 5 o'clock in the morning until 10, you know, so Democracy Now! Is on in drive time, and so is the BBC News. And if you're talking core drive time, well, you know, if you're calling that 7 to 9, then half of it is news and half of it's music. So people who are saying that drive time in Houston is all music are kind of spinning a story in my definition. And it's, you know, where we're at with the local station boards in regards to programming and the possibility of working with listener members and board members on, in a program and council sort of format to work with staff to make these kinds of changes. I think that it would be foolish of us to make a big change like that without having some kind of strategic plan involving an analysis of the community needs and how people are using KPFT and how they want to use KPFT. And I've been working with the committees of inclusion here in Houston to perform some of that community needs assessment as something that could be adjunct to program analysis to, that would give us some actual substance to make rational decisions about making those changes.
Okay, thanks, Miguel. Last question.
First of all, thanks for the hospitality that you had arranged, you and other staff and listeners put together for us. And I'm looking forward to the party tonight. But I remember that 4 years ago, you were holding a sign outside of the Double T Hotel, picketing the Pacifica board.
I remember that.
And we were not even allowed to go into the room. And today, and 4 years later, and sitting down here as a national board member, you has accomplished a little work in that station, and a little change in having made,
sure.
Which is a little is amazing.
Commendable.
Right, and I feel really good about that. But
I was yeah.
No, just to the internal that of the Latino programming, I heard that you increased the Latino programming, which is I think is really wonderful. And I just wanted to find out how you feel in terms of the accomplishment. Have been any increase in the in terms of the membership? Now they are withdrawing the number. I know there was an increase on that, but in terms of the membership at the station.
Well, we don't survey the listeners as to any of that statistical information when we intake a pledge form. But looking at the programs, programs like Proyecto Latino Americano and Noticiero, the news in Spanish that's on Friday night, they're bringing in lots of new listeners. And we set not only dollar per minute goals for every program based on past performance and time in the schedule, but also new member goals. And I think all but one of the Latino programs exceeded its new member goal in the last fund drive. So I think that's good.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dwayne.